Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views. The views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line I'm Michael A. Colazzi, and we're going to be talking about, well, some things that he has discovered, going over some of the literature, some of the things that he's found in the Catholic Church. And he's coming from a Catholic perspective, but there's some things that are really very, very disturbing, and some of the things that I've actually checked on myself and were really horrified when I realized what they're doing to the minds and the hearts and the souls of our children. Michael, thank you so very much for being with us tonight.
Thanks, Dr. Stan. Thanks for having me.
Why don't you sort of tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and how you came to become involved and the cause of your real concern?
Well, actually, as you mentioned, I am a devout Catholic, and I'm a filmmaker. I'm a production chief of Silver Sword International, a film production company, and we were putting together a major motion picture called Intimate Fear, which is a family-oriented film in the city of Toronto. We were filming it in Toronto, even though it takes place in Chicago. I'm an American myself, and everything was getting set up quite nicely, but we required by the Archdiocese of Toronto, in order to shoot scenes in their churches, to send in the script, the screenplay, and get permission. And to make a very long story short regarding the Archdiocese, the script came back for our family-oriented film, declined, and I found that extremely odd, having even been a catechist teacher at the Archdiocese of Brooklyn, Queens, in New York, and have taught grammar school and high school kids, even confirmation. So I know how an archdiocese is supposed to operate. So I decided to perform an investigation on the Archdiocese of Toronto, and it took several months, and I was led to the imagery of the Archdiocese, the chosen imagery, because the declination letter that they gave us was that the imagery of our family-oriented film was not in line with theirs. I found that to be very odd, and it turns out that the images that they portray on their website and in the calendars that they give out at Mass for free contain what can best be described as satanic pornography.
Satanic pornography?
Yes, I know those are very strong words. Best way that I can describe it, I'm an artist, all art is planned, and after looking at their particular requisition, specially requisitioned, approved, promoted, and executed artwork that they use on their website, through the internet, and in their literature given out at churches, they have essentially put in programming within their artwork.
Now, this couldn't have been sort of an accident of some sort.
Impossible.
Okay.
Impossible. Impossible because, as a matter of fact, 20 years ago I was trained in the arts in this specific type of work. I've been studying it for 20 years. It's easy for me to notice. It's something that I had no idea existed in the Archdiocese, but was given the opportunity because of this declination to investigate, and there it was. It was sort of, it was amazing for me to see it. I couldn't believe it was there, but it is. And these are images that are demonic, sexually oriented, everything from phallic symbols to traditional satanic symbols, 666s, pentagrams, goat's heads, ram's heads, sexual acts in a cartoon-like form aimed at children.
And so really what they're doing is trying to corrupt the minds and the hearts of our children. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Michael Lake Kalatze, and you'll find it a fascinating program. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening is Michael A. Kalatze, and he was telling it that he had started out to investigate the Archdiocese of Toronto because they had declined to allow them to shoot a film in one of their cathedrals there. And so this made him a little concerned as he began going through the artwork, the website of the Archdiocese. He begins to find satanic symbols and sexually explicit symbols in literature that's aimed at the children. Now, it may be difficult for the average listener out there to believe this sort of thing goes on. But if you read the writings of the most famous Satanist of modern times, and I'm speaking now of the last half of the 20th century, his name is Manly P. Hall, and in his book, The Secret Teachings of All Ages, he talks about how the satanic symbolism has been put into all sorts of artwork, and whether it be architecture, paintings, woodcuts. It is there, sculptury. They put it there so that the people who are discerning will be able to pick it up. The average individual won't. They hide their satanic symbols in plain sight, and the average individual, because they're not mentally oriented, doesn't even realize what it is, but those ideas are indelibly imprinted on their subconscious. Isn't that correct?
Absolutely. Basically, artists, as we plan even a film or even when we put words together, different arts, like you mentioned, sculptures, we realize that the unconscious or the subconscious mind picks everything up, just like a camera lens, just like within the shutter speed. Like if you walk into a room or you look at a picture, you instantly see it whether you remember it or not. The conscious mind is behind in time, and the artist knows this. So if they could plant or hide or camouflage certain pieces of demonic and sexual imagery as the underlying message behind something that you would not ordinarily think was there, then they get their programming effect to work on your mind without you consciously realizing it. So they're using that bit of a delay. I like to make it very simple by just saying that you really have to concentrate in certain areas of a particular picture and look for it to come to life. And it may take a few seconds or even a minute sometimes to get some of the really embedded images, but the job is done because you undeniably have seen that particular painting or photograph or stained glass or wood carving or whatever it might be. I've even seen it in drapery. I've seen it in tapestry. I've seen it on sofas and other places, and of course in advertising for, you know, cigarettes and alcohol and things of that nature. But I would never expect to see it in my church, in the Catholic Church, and after I was so alarmed at the Archdiocese of Toronto, which is the largest archdiocese in Canada and the fifth largest city in the country, I decided to check in the United States, being an American. And being a catechist teacher, as I mentioned, I noticed that the Oregon Catholic Press is the largest supplier of worship materials to the Archdiocese in the United States.
Hold that thought for just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening, Michael A. Kalatze, and we're talking about his discovery that there was embedded into much of the material on the website, in the literature, in the books that were being used in the Toronto Archdiocese, satanic and demonic symbolism, things that most people wouldn't even see if they weren't looking for them. Once you know they're there, why, they just sort of jump out at you. And then, of course, he begins looking in some of the things happening here in the United States. He's an American. He's shooting a film up in Toronto, and he'd be aware of the fact that the Archdiocese of Toronto won't allow his film to be shot because it's a family-oriented film, and they tell him that his vision is different than theirs. Well, obviously, they have an occult or satanic vision, and of course, what's so difficult for many people to believe, whether they're Protestant or Catholic, is that there truly is demonic infiltration into all branches of Christendom today, both Protestant and Catholic, and the average Christian can't understand it because his leaders are not warning him about the true nature of the spiritual battle in which we're engaged. So pick up the story from there. You began looking around what was happening here in the States then, Michael?
Yeah, that's correct. The Oregon Catholic Press, the largest supplier of worship materials in the United States Archdiocese, and I decided that I'd have to check them out, because if there was any way that evil can infiltrate directly in the pews of the churches in the U.S., it would be through the Oregon Catholic Press, because their materials, their hymnals and their missals are sitting right there in the rows of the churches. So sure enough, after I checked, I found astonishing things. As a matter of fact, I took my little children to Mass on Sunday, and my kids were looking at the current music issue, and it's called Today's Missal Music Issue, and there's this wildly exploding red cross, which is not even a cross. It's just an exploding thing, and after looking at it with my kids being mesmerized, I grabbed it away and looked, and it has, unbelievably, it has the 666 hidden among musical notes right on the cover, right smack on the cover in the pews. Satan's signature in the pews of the Catholic churches, two-thirds of the Catholic churches in the United States, and the cross is actually an exploding head with a bunch of other faces on it, and sitting right there in the pews as we speak. In addition, after checking further OCP missals and hymnals, they have other items on those as well. A Jesus figure with a phallic symbol with an erection on his stomach, and various other goblins, faces, ghost faces, essentially the same thing, satanic pornography, but this time on a gigantic scale. Now someone did not have to go on the internet. They don't have to get a free calendar at church as in Toronto. They can just simply go to church, go to Mass, and pick it up and see it as it is. And where I am right now in Chicago, because Intimate Fear does actually take place in Chicago, even though it's set up to film in Toronto, a few churches here have responded by covering, which we had mentioned on a previous program, covering the front of that particular missal with a prayer, with a adhesive label, just to cover it over until the next one comes out.
Was this because of your expose of what this was about?
Well, you know, the Catholic Church and the Archdiocese will never admit these things, but it has been well exposed. It has been, the press release has gone out, and many, many people have read them and understood what's happening. So quietly, there have been some priests, some archdioceses who have taken measures to make sure it goes away quietly. However, as we've talked in the past, it's not going to go away quietly because the Oregon Catholic Press is not doing anything. They themselves are not withdrawing the books, and they're keeping it going. In fact, they have future books coming up that I have examined, which are even worse. So they're just not stopping, and they need to be told to stop. But it even doesn't stop there with the actual missals and hymnals. The network, EWTN, which I've been watching for a long time, a Catholic global network, the Eternal Word television network founded by Mother Angelica, for years has been a solid network for Catholics, and this network on their website also, on a weekly rotational basis over the months, has put satanic pornography within their artwork on their homepage of the website.
Don't you think, Michael, that there are some evil and wicked people who have infiltrated the ministry there and are sneaking that in? Certainly, it may very well be, and I suspect the Sister Angelica has no idea what this is all about. She wouldn't recognize this because nobody's pointed out to her. But I know, for instance, from the Protestant Church point of view, that most of our major ministries have been infiltrated by the other side, and the leaders are good men, people who love the Lord. Have no idea what's happening, and you can't get through to them to tell them what's happening.
Absolutely, I agree 100%. Mother Angelica has no idea this is going on. She's had a couple of strokes. Some other people run. She's not doing very well health-wise. A couple of people run EWTN right now. Somebody knows. Somebody within EWTN knows. They actually have been doing it. I've confronted them. It's something where I get the feeling where they sit down and say, okay, well, we're busted. We've been found out. We have it here. But they just won't stop. I've begged them to stop. I've told them, please stop. And yet they keep coming with more, giving more and more ammunition to my findings over now almost a year of work that I've been investigating. So, there's no end in sight. They're afraid to pull it down. And, you know, coming from, as a producer, coming from a standpoint where we deal with attorneys and others, every attorney I've ever spoken to about this has said, you know, if it happened to my business or another client, the first thing we do is take it down just in case the guy might be right. But they know that I am, and that's the reason why that is still there, because it would count as an admission, and that's what they're worried about.
But, of course, aren't there a lot of people who look at you and say, this guy's really way out, you know, he's flipped, I mean, he's talking about imaginary things, he probably believes in black helicopters, and he probably believes in CIA assassins, and he probably believes that there was a conspiracy behind the assassination of President Kennedy. You know, there are always extremists like this, Michael Colazzi out there, just really stirring up the trouble, you know. Now, I know you're right. I mean, I have no question, because I many years ago, I had the opportunity of traveling to Southeast Asia with into New Zealand, I should say, into the Pacific, with into New Zealand and Australia with a Catholic group, Human Life International. I was only Protestant there, and of course we were addressing many health issues, and it was amazing how some of the dioceses would welcome the people from Human Life International, and other dioceses would not allow anybody in, talking against abortion or talking against what was happening as far as the AIDS epidemic and things of that sort. So there seems to be within the Catholic Church certain areas that are traditional and hold high moral values, and other areas which really have been taken over. Have you found that to be the case?
Absolutely. There's no doubt that there's a certain number of schisms, or one giant, you can call it schism, in the Catholic Church. There's a split. There are different sects. There are six types of Catholics in actuality. We won't get into that, but there are various types of Catholics, from traditional all the way down to Catholics who never even go to church or even consider themselves practicing Catholics. But yeah, there are certain priests and others who have actually can take over an entire archdiocese or take over an entire parish, and you'll notice that from going from church to church. You'll see different style of masses, different types of things and little bits of habits in the liturgy that have slightly been changed. Absolutely. The problem is that we have to understand as Catholics, or even as Christians, but especially in the Catholic Church, and me speaking as a Catholic, evil's in our church. There's just no way around it. And we just don't do anything about it. We sort of coddle the cancer instead of cutting it out and letting the body heal itself. Instead, we quiet it up. We hush it up. We're supposed to suffer from what I call good Catholic syndrome, which is just hush it up, be quiet, everything will take care of itself. And that's not the way that things are supposed to be done. No doubt about it. I agree with you 100%. We have problems, and people are afraid. Most priests are afraid to engage these problems head on. And certainly bishops in the United States aren't going to do it. The United States Conference of Catholic Bishops is an organization which, I hate to say it, is suspect, because there is a tremendous influence in that organization for progression and progressive priests, and that anything goes. And when you start getting into the anything goes changes, then those anything goes changes relate to influences that are suspect, like evil within the church. I firmly believe that that's the case, and it doesn't take many. It may take one priest out of an entire archdiocese that can take over an archdiocese and literally lead people in the wrong direction. Certainly within the case of the Archdiocese of Toronto and the Oregon Catholic Press and EWTN, These three organizations have people within them that are just plain evil. I mean, someone is actually doing it. Someone is requisitioning the artwork and putting it out there. And as we know, Dr. Stan, it is a very powerful medium. Art is. As an artist, I can tell everybody out there, art is planned. We plan every single minute detail, especially when it comes to a single photograph or a picture, because we only have one chance to get it right. And if we don't get it right in that one shot, then we failed at our mission. So it gets edited and re-edited and airbrushed if it has to be, and computer digitized if it has to be. We're going to get our underlying message in there. I'm sorry?
No, go right ahead.
Okay. You know, we're going to make sure that we get our underlying message within that particular frame of artwork, or whether it's a motion picture, or what have you. But these are still photographs. They're very carefully manufactured. And this is something that's hundreds and hundreds of years old. As a matter of fact, we've spoken for many professionals that you know. One gentleman by the name of Dr. Wilson Brian Key, who has written several books on the subliminal nature, or the underlying embedded nature of the satanic imagery and the sexual imagery in advertising, has looked at my particular findings, because I had studied his materials 20 years ago. And he's corroborated everything, and he's considered to be one of the definitive words in the art. He knows that it exists. The word sex, blatant, the word sex, on EWTN of all things. It so pains me to even to say these things, but the images are certainly there, and they're designed to program and corrupt, and to stimulate at the same time instead of completely scare for the acceptance of evil instead of Christ.
Well, there's nothing wrong with sex. It's one of the things that God gave us, but it's to be reserved for marriage. And, of course, what they're doing is promoting homosexuality, promiscuousness, and, of course, extramarital sex, because they know, of course, that this is corrupting for the individual. They know exactly what they're doing. The one thing is they don't want the American people to know. We'll be back here in just a moment or two with Michael A. Colazzi. As incredible as it seems, this is truly going on all across Christendom today. We'll be right back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty, and welcome your calls. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Michael A. Colazzi, and of course, we're talking about this effort for corruption within the Catholic Church, and we're not going to get into what's happening in the Protestant Church too much tonight, but we have the same forces here. One of the things that you talk about a book, it is a children's book, and it is done by a man who is a professional pornographer. And would you like to tell a little bit about this man? What is his name, Silverstein, or
The professional pornographer Silverstein?
No, didn't you? Perhaps it was another program, but this was a children's book that was all full of a sexual imagery, and this is something that 4, 5, and 6-year-old children would be reading. Are you aware of these books at all?
I'm not aware of a specific book, but I do know that when the artwork itself is designed to be attracted to children, because I have 4 toddlers, and the books through the Oregon Catholic Press and even the materials that I've discovered at the Archdiocese of Toronto are cartoon-like. They're definitely geared to children. And when you have sexual pornographic imagery, when you have people masturbating, which is what's happening on the Archdiocese of Toronto site, there are people masturbating, looking at each other's private parts. I mean, it's supposed to be a religious place. It's supposed to be of a religious nature. It's supposed to be Jesus Christ there, but it's actually a Christ figure or a Jesus figure. And to be quite honest, to be blunt, the Jesus figure has an erection. There's someone grabbing his private parts. There's a gigantic sperm on somebody's leg. And you wouldn't think it to be seen. You know, it's plain as day, too. It's not even hidden or embedded. It's just gigantic. And the conscious mind being behind the subconscious mind is not recognizing it as that. So you're saying to yourself, gee, it's a sperm, it's not supposed to be that big. And the head of the sperm has a smiley face on it, staring into where the guy is grabbing. This is straight on the internet. Very easy to see some of these images, because the artists have become quite brash and arrogant. They're saying, you know, that they, ha ha, we can get you, and that they just go ahead and put imagery now that is not as carefully embedded, where we call these zeros. These are not even level one embedded images. They're not even hidden. They're there because the strong emotional attachment to religion, that they're counting on the fact that people are going to be so strongly attached that they would never believe something like that could possibly exist. So their eyes are catching it subconsciously, but they're skating right over it. But if you stare, if I point it out to somebody on a computer screen and say, look at that guy's leg, and stare and tell me what that is, everybody's going to say, well, my goodness, there's a gigantic sperm sitting right there, just as an example. Even the calendars that we have found, I have shown these calendars to plenty of people, but they have seen a Jesus figure and something's coming out of his chest. Once again, the classic phallic symbol is used constantly in these particular images, is coming out of the chest of what's supposed to be Jesus in the Good Shepherd pose. He's standing there with sheep, and there's a very large penis hanging out of his chest. You have no other way to say it. But no one will see it. They look straight at this picture of Jesus, and they pass by. Once again, it is a cartoon-like figure drawn in a very simple way for kids to understand. They're looking at it. They see it happening. They recognize what it is, but they don't accept it as a conscious thought, so therefore the program has taken place. But they don't actually see the image consciously. I have to actually point it out for someone to actually see it from that point as well.
Well, now, do people, hold that thought for just a moment here as we bring our other stations back online. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Michael A. Colazzi, and we've got Ray calling in from Santa Cruz. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. Ray, did you have a question or comment?
Yeah. Hi, Dr. Stan. I wanted to ask Michael, what do you think of rock and roll and church, electric guitars and drums and that sort of thing? Do you think that's kind of
personally, I think that it's improper. I don't think it's something that I enjoy. As a matter of fact, I just went to a mass this past Sunday, and it was the music got kind of wild. There's a problem with reverence in the Catholic Church because you're either reverent or you're irreverent. There's no in between. And if you get really wild with guitars and drums and rock and roll at the church, I find it a bit disturbing and contradicting on the fact of why you're there.
I'm a Catholic too, and I wanted to make one other comment. The Bishop of San Jose has said that Jesus Christ was just a prophet. He said that.
I know, and I've read that on one of the Novus Ordo sites, and that's a very dangerous thing. But you shouldn't be surprised about that. We're at a critical time in history. There's a war going on. It's not in Iraq. It's the war versus good
spiritual
world.
And of course, the thing is that it permeates every aspect of the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church as well. But there is a real organized effort to destroy our religious belief. And so, first of all, you destroy our basic beliefs. After all, if Jesus was simply just a prophet, he wasn't God incarnate. He really didn't come to Earth to die for our sins. Then we certainly don't need a savior. But we've already taken sin out of the church pretty well, and we've taken hell pretty well out of the church. We've taken any mention of eternal punishment out of the church. They've subtly changed the entire message of Christendom. And this did not happen by accident, Ray. I'm sure you realize that.
Yeah.
I know you listen to our programs regularly.
Yeah.
This is part of a long-range planned attack on the very heart of Christianity.
Yeah, I believe that.
Okay, anything else you wanted to ask?
That's about it.
Okay. Incidentally, do we have rock and roll in our Catholic churches in this area?
Oh, I don't want to talk about it, but
all right,
yeah, I just it's true, it happened.
Okay, fine.
But I don't like it, and I just wanted to call and find out what Michael thought about it, and I'm disturbed by it. I think it's kind of disturbing.
You should be, because as a matter of fact, I should mention that with respect to the word reverence, the web designers who designed the Archdiocese of Toronto website and found the specialist artist who pulled off this miracle of, I call it a miracle because it's hard to put over 150 embedded images in one picture, which is what he did. He was so amazing to the web designers that they said that what they needed to do is balance reverence and approachability for this institution. That is their quote. They wanted to balance reverence and approachability. So they came up with that picture to balance reverence and approachability. You can't do that. You're either reverent or irreverent. There's no balance. There's no balance required.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Thanks so much, Ray. And
of course,
we've got real problems, and I think it's really so important that somebody's out there sounding the alarm. Now, are you getting your message out through internet or through radio? How are you reaching people and letting them know what's happening and what sort of response you're getting from the average Catholic?
Well, we have done a tremendous release. We've done press releases. We have many people in the press who are very interested in, and are treading very lightly, and I don't blame them for it because this is a gigantic scandal. I call it a set of scandals. In fact, I call it a trend because we have now identified three major places in North America that are executing such horror. The response has been, I don't want to believe this, but I'm afraid it's true. And please help me understand it, because people are not educated when it comes to this particular rocket science, which it is, because you have to understand how it works. You have to sort of be trained into how the techniques work. So I've been asked by journalists and by others to use my filmmaking abilities and, for once and for all, sort of teach, instruct, and make people understand how this works and bring this story with all its gigantic elements together, all of my notes together over a year, and make a film. So we are interrupting the film Intimate Fear for a bit of time, and we will make Intimate Fear, which is, again, a regular feature film, family-oriented film, and we're going to do a feature documentary, which is going to be very well about this particular subject matter and how the Oregon Catholic Press, Archdiocese of Toronto, EWTN, and others are perpetrating this tremendous fraud on everyone, and the educational process, concentrating on the techniques. So everybody once and for all can see this, and then with safety in numbers, we can go to our bishops and say, look, it has to end now, because no one seems to be leaving.
Well, I think that as soon as you get that done, well, I hope you will get a custom copy, and we'll certainly help you to get the information out, because we think it's so vitally important. And I think that the problem is that they're really aiming at the minds of our younger people, specifically, and they're trying to program them with all of these vile and terrible, terrible images, of course, to take their mind off of divinity towards things of the flesh. We'll be right back here in just a moment with our special guest, Michael A. Colazzi. Welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Michael A. Colazzi, and of course, like most people, I don't think he was well aware of what was going on, at least from the point of view of the Archdiocese of Toronto, until he was refused opportunity to use one of their cathedrals or churches there, and he began looking at the website of this archdiocese, and suddenly realized there were all sorts of pornographic and occult messages really embedded in the website and using art and other things as a means of corrupting the souls of the people, of the believers in that area. Well, of course, this is not simply in Toronto. It's all across the country. And I don't know, have you looked much into Chicago, the Chicago area, where Bernardine, what was his name?
Bernardine. Yeah.
Right. Was there, because he was a pretty, was somebody who was covering from, for homosexual and pedophile priests who were really corrupting so many of young people. And, he himself, knew very well what was going on, and instead of punishing the priest or throwing him out of the priesthood, he transferred him to another area. And then he's been allowed to simply go over to Rome to retire. Nothing's ever been done, but I'm sure his influence is still there in the Chicago area.
Well, his influence is here, and the problem with Bernardin was that with respect to picking on popes, Pope John Paul II, I don't believe, appointed Bernardin, and he was already cardinal or bishop of Chicago at the time. So he was one of the few that was not appointed by Pope John Paul II, who is he's not the Antichrist, he's not an apostate pope. We'll have one of those coming up at some point, but it's not John Paul II, but he did appoint Cardinal George here, and he has changed things quite a bit. As I mentioned to you earlier, the missal at the church, the Today's Missal Music issue, which had this crazy cross on it with a 666 and demonic faces and things aimed at kids in this cartoon-like thing, I've seen it covered up. So apparently the message has got out there that there's definitely some kind of issue with the missals and the hymnals, and it has to be covered. But there is a lasting effect with respect to the acceptance of certain things at churches, and I have found churches in Chicagoland that do, as Ray was saying, some of the music is a little bit outlandish. There's a reverent and reverence problem. People are forgetting why they come to Mass to begin with in the Catholic Church, and only about 75-80% of the people, 75-80% of people in the United States don't come to Mass as Catholics as it is. But there's, of course, a lasting effect, and I think as far as the culture war goes, we're losing, because...
Hold that thought for just a moment. We're going to have to bring our other stations on board with this, and so they'll be coming online right about now. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Michael A. Colazzi, and he's really talking about the fact that certainly the impact of these pictures that have been embedded in the minds of so many of the people through this artwork and through the books and other means on the Internet sites, this is going to be with those people forever. They're never going to forget that. That's embedded in their subconscious, just chipping away at the very foundation of their religious beliefs. So pick up where you are. So we'll interrupt you there, Michael.
No, that's okay. With respect to Chicago and other parts of the United States, Chicago is a heavily populated Catholic area to begin with, and from immigrants of, you know, decades and decades ago. But it's not as bad as some places that I've seen in North America. Some places, bishops allow their churches to just, allow their pastors to have simply any kind of mass that they want. It's a very difficult thing. Catholics have to realize themselves that it's a culture war. It's a battle for souls. It's good versus evil. There are some priests that I've even seen on EWTN that come out and said that we're fighting a war and we have to step up. We have to choose sides, essentially. That's the way I put it. You have to choose sides, and you have to speak up. People are afraid to speak up. As I mentioned earlier, there's this good Catholic syndrome. You never get a Catholic who's going to speak up to a priest and have the priest force the priest to speak up against some other priest, because priests don't call out other priests. And it's this problem that I have, such an intense problem with this, you know, not cutting off your hand. If the hand makes you sin, you cut it off. The eye makes you sin, you pluck it out. We don't do that in the Catholic Church. We coddle the cancer. We will challenge people to say, no, we don't have this cancer in our body, but yes, we do. And then when they finally admit it, they just transfer it to another place, like you mentioned earlier. Homosexual priests or pedophile priests get transferred to some other place instead of being called out. No one wants to make a specific charge against them. Recently in Austria, the seminary scandal in Austria, because they happen to have the pictures. That's the reason why that they're caught. Our seminaries in the Catholic Church are run rampant with homosexual influence, and that is the breeding ground for pedophile priests and others. We have a big problem. Catholics have to understand this, and it starts at the very youngest ages, as we were speaking, Dr. Stan, the children, our children, my children, looking at artwork smack right in church, right in the pews, in the stained glass, on the internet, in the calendars, in the missals and the hymnals. And whether people like it or not, they're getting programmed by the messages that they're seeing inside there. They're getting stimulated at the same time. So when they see the face of the devil, and I mean literally, the red-faced devil, if everybody had to draw a face of the devil and get crayons out there, they'd probably draw a red-faced guy with a mean-looking face and horns. Well, that red-faced guy, mean-looking horns, is right in the pictures that I'm talking about. I mean, right smack on the Archdiocese of Toronto website, sitting right there for everybody to see. But people don't want to believe that that could possibly be there. Oh, my goodness, I see that, but I don't want to believe it. It's there for that particular reason. And we're going to point all these things out to everyone. We're going to extract them. We're going to blow them up. We're going to show people that not only are they there, but why they are there and what damage it does, with plenty of expertise from, you know, around the world. I have experts lined up that we're going to have, and it's going to be a tremendous, tremendous documentary. So people once and for all can understand that we do have some operatives within the Catholic Church, within the archdiocese, within the parishes themselves, that are just plain bad. We got some bad guys involved. The majority of Catholic priests are good, but you know something? Sometimes the good guys do evil work unknowingly by letting the bad guys get away with stuff. This to be very simple, and that's something that has to stop.
Well, now, how soon will you have this movie out? Are you trying to develop or get support for your effort? What is happening at the present time?
Well, because we have, again, this is something completely unexpected from making Intimate Fear, which is a regular feature film, family-oriented film, and then having to sort of do this in its place for the moment, because people are demanding that there be closure here, an explanation and closure. We're developing it right now. We are now finishing up the script. It is a documentary. It's going to look as if you were watching, say, maybe the History Channel or something like that, having a narrator go through all of the findings that I have myself and other experts explain the materials, and we have all of the pictures. So it's undeniable. It's indisputable. It's impossible to deny. And we're developing it right now. We should hopefully get into pre-production last quarter of this year, and be able in the first quarter of this year to bring it out. And we're certainly hoping to bring it out into the hot spots of the United States in theaters and let it go from there, and then eventually on DVD. We think something like this will catch fire because of the fact that, I say that in a you know, no pun intended, but that it will wake people up, especially Catholics. Especially in the hotspot cities such as New York, LA, Chicago, Portland, where the Oregon Catholic Press is based, Boston, where they've had such a tremendous problem with pedophile priests, and in Toronto, of course, and then let it grow from there. I think that Catholics need to get educated, and they will go see for themselves. And I think we have something that, message from God. I mean, he's calling on Catholics to join this culture war and to choose sides, to fight against evil, because there is evil within our church. We have to accept this, understand this. We just can't turn our backs anymore as Catholics, because it's there, and we have the proof. I mean, I have the pictures. You know it exists, Dr. Stan. The pictures are absolutely shocking. As you mentioned before, just the word sex, no, that's not a problem. Putting the word sex next to St. Anne and Mary, and then having St. Anne point into the sky and her fingers scratching the beard of a devil, well, that's a completely different thing. And that was sitting on the EWTN website for a week.
Well, I think that what people don't understand is that when we talk about homosexual priests, we don't talk about the spiritual forces behind homosexuality, which is a flagrant violation of God's law. And the same thing happens as far as pedophilia. There is a spiritual component to all of this, and we never talk about that, and because we don't talk about it, why we can't address the issue. Well, let's go to Kathy, who's calling in from Post Falls. Is that Post Falls, Idaho?
Yes, it is, Dr. Stan.
How are you doing, Kathy?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, listening to your interesting program. Here in Post Falls, we have a traditional Catholic church, and it's called the Church of the Immaculate Conception. And it's run by the Society of St. Pius X, which is a traditional segment of the Catholic Church. And I'm sure your guest knows about it. One, I was surprised to learn that there's five or six different kinds of Catholics these days. I mean, I knew of three, but I didn't know there were six or so. But anyway, I'm wondering if he's heard anything regarding the Society of St. Pius X in regards to what's happening, as he sees it, I assume, in the Novus Ordo churches, and then as he has said on EWTN, and I'm just shocked to hear about EWTN, because I have enjoyed watching that program, you know, the different shows that they have on that station. When I'm at my job, I have access to that cable station, and I've really learned a lot by listening to it, and it's very disappointing to hear that that kind of thing is happening there.
But it can
happen
any place.
So I guess my question is, yeah, I know.
It can happen any place. You know, a majority of it can be very good, but you only need one bad apple in a barrel to spoil the whole barrel.
That's right. So I guess my question is, has your guest heard of anything in regards to the International Society of St. Pius X, which is this traditional Catholic movement that the Vatican has been quite interested in pulling back into the fold, so to speak?
You know anything at all about
the
that?
The society has resisted to date, because the Vatican will not come out and say that they allow the Latin Tridentine Mass to be accessible and free for any priest to use.
Well, what do you know anything about that, Michael?
Well, actually, you're absolutely correct. The Vatican's not going to accept some. They think that it's essentially an offshoot of the Church itself. I don't think there's anything wrong with the Latin Mass. I think it's an excellent Mass. I've tried myself to find certain churches that would have the Mass itself. There's one in Chicago, St. John Canticus, which is a very old, extremely old church that they were going to tear down. But they brought it back where they have a Latin Mass. It's kind of like a halfway. They have the Latin Mass sometimes, and they have the Novus Ordo Mass sometimes as well. What's going to end up happening is I don't believe the Vatican is going to ever accept the Latin Mass again. I think that what's going to happen is it's going to grow. Internationally, it has been growing. Mel Gibson's part of the movement as well, as you probably know. With respect to that, I think it's going to grow internationally, and I don't think it's ever going to be accepted. Certainly if John Paul II is not going to accept it, the next pope and the pope after that is probably going to even be worse. With respect to EWTN, I don't mean to disappoint you. I watch EWTN. I like the shows. There's some good people on there, very good priests and good shows. There's somebody there, and I've emailed back and forth to some high-level people there. There's somebody there that's doing this. And what's bothering me is that they're not doing anything about it. They're letting it continue. I can't look at the website anymore, because I have so many pictures from that website with so many pieces of satanic porn inside those pictures. They won't stop. I've even offered to use my expertise, 20 years of expertise in deciphering this very imagery I have, and they won't send them to me ahead of time. I begged them, put on a cross, put on a statue of Mary, put something on there that's Catholic, put on the sky, put on a picture of Mother Angelica, but they won't. They can keep coming back with more and more of these satanic and occult symbols. And I think that maybe if there's somebody there doing it, maybe that person has a heck of a lot of power because they just won't stop.
Okay, thanks very much for calling, Kathy.
My question was about the Society of St. Pius X and if your guest knew anything about them.
Not necessarily the society itself. All I could mention is that with respect to the Latin Mass and its growth and the stoppage of the Latin Mass.
Okay, we got to run, Kathy.
Thank you.
Let's go to Fred from Philadelphia. Hi, Fred.
Hi, Dr. Stan. Michael, I want to direct my question to you. I want to bring up the subject of subliminal
messages,
technique.
Right?
And I just want to caution you, I'm supportive, but I want to really caution you that intellectually, in the world of libraries, books, and intellectuals, where this is thrashed out, you really have to meet a high standard visible proof, dots per square inch that you're going to have to come up with. So if you do a documentary of it, make sure you do it in some super high definition thing, because everyone seems to poo-poo the most brilliant documentaries on subliminal techniques. And
well,
you have to really blast through all doubt.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. As a matter of fact, this is happening at a perfect time. Today's digital technology, the CGI experts, the computer graphic guys, we have some people that we're speaking with lined up that will be able to make an extraction and superimpose the pictures so that they are properly extracted. And the other thing that's going for us is that the pictures are not necessarily subliminal. Many of these images are simply plain conscious images that the artists are hiding behind the religious emotional element. When I was speaking earlier about these phallic symbols and this giant sperm and the guy grabbing his crotch or whatever, these are just plain images. You can't miss these. It's very easy to see. So what we're doing in the film is that we're relating things on a scale of 1 to 10, where we're taking these very easy level 1 subliminals, if you want to use that word, or hidden images, where people can see them within a few seconds. If I pointed out and said, look, right over here, you can see this face of the devil, you can see him very easily. And then there are some that are very, very hard to see, I will admit, that I can see, and we may touch upon those. But there's so many in these particular pictures, very easy to work with.
Michael, I want to say that there is what has come to be called a textbook that these powerful people in advertising use, by Norman L. Dixon. The title is called Preconscious Processing, and he's had more than one edition of it. It's probably the most condensed authoritative work on subliminal techniques, and the industry does use it, but they keep the title of this textbook under wraps. So I would try to get a copy of that and see how the industry itself manipulates images, because they do it in ways that I hope that you can track down. But you know, it is an elusive thing, and they may come up with a different way to manipulate what we experience even after you have a successful documentary.
Okay, look, thank you so much, very much for calling.
All right.
Okay, fine, and we lost a couple of people. We lost Fred from Michigan, and we lost Roger from Allentown. We'd be glad to put him on if he'd wants to give us a call, either Fred from Michigan or Roger from Allentown. We've only got a few more minutes here, but certainly I suspect, Michael, that you'll be right on top of this. Of course, you are trained in this whole idea of subliminal messages, aren't you?
Absolutely. Yeah, I was trained 20 years ago in psychology, and I've been studying it ever since. I'm not going to let anybody down. I found so many images that even some of the professionals are like, well, you know something? I don't need a few weeks to go through that again, because I can see them. I've been studying them so long. We're not going to let anybody look through these and say, well, you know, they missed this one, they missed that one. Gee, I can see this one. We're going to do an excellent job. We have a lot of things going for us in the sense that the artists have become a little bit lax. They become brash. They become arrogant. They feel like no one's teaching this anymore. No one's studying it anymore. So who's going to come out against them? They've become The ones that are made now, anyway, have become so easy to see. I was speaking with Dr. Key about this. I said, what's going on? This isn't like 20 years ago. It isn't like 30 years ago. This is simple stuff to see today. And he agrees. It's so blatant that people are going to drop their jaw when they see these things come to life and how it can be properly done in a motion picture and how we have these things extracted and seen. So I promise everybody it'll be highly accurate and indisputable, undeniable, enough so that especially Catholics and Christians and anyone who joins the fight of good versus evil. And I grew up in New York, tremendous Jewish population, Protestant population, Muslims, all of the religions. We're supposed to hate evil, hate Satan, and fight against them. My neighbors never go for something like this.
Well, we're going to see what we can do to help you. Anyway, we got Arlene calling from San Jose. Hi, Arlene. How are you doing?
I'm actually calling from Santa Cruz.
Oh, calling
from
Santa Cruz.
But I just wanted to mention that there are at least two or three Tridentine masses and priests up in the San Jose Diocese. And there's one in the mountains of Santa Cruz, heading down towards Los Gatos.
No, you're going to have to. Are these traditional Catholic?
Yes, they're the traditional Catholic masses, and then they're said in Latin, and they're the old, just the completely traditional from before the Novus Ordo.
Okay, fine. Well, thank you so much for letting us know. Do you appreciate your calling? Do you want to just mention where they are, how people get in touch with them if they're listening?
Oh boy.
Oh, well, that's all right. You can give us a call sometime later and let us know, and then if anybody wants to know, they can call in, okay?
Okay, well, they could call area code 408-991-9343.
All right.
And that's a member of one of the Latin chapels.
Thanks you very much, Arlene.
All
right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. And, of course, we'll be back here in just a moment with Michael A. Colacci, too, and we'll be wrapping up our program here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here from Radio Liberty. We've got one last caller. It's Phil from Flint, Michigan. Hi, Phil. Philip, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Have a quick. We're just about out of time. Do you have a quick question?
Yeah, my question is, actually I have a comment, and what I want to say is that, you know, we have two systems in this on this earth, and that is good and evil.
Right.
And we have two churches. One is false, and one is true church. And when I look at the Catholic Church, I look at the Catholic Church as being the false church.
I see. So you, all right. So you believe that the Catholic Church is evil, and that's why Lucifer is out to destroy it?
That's correct.
All right. Well, thank you. Anything else you'd like to say?
That's about it.
All right. Thank you. Bye bye. Of course, I believe that there's things I disagree with the Catholic Church, but I'm sure there are things that the Catholics would disagree with from my point of view. I think we all certainly look to the resurrection of the Christ, and that you believe in the birth, the virgin birth, the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I think that is the essence of Christianity. There are a lot of things superimposed upon that. Would you agree with that, Michael?
Absolutely, I agree, and that's what makes us Christian brothers and sisters.
Right, and so we can disagree on a lot of the terminology, and certainly we're concerned about the misuse of power. That's one nice thing about being a Protestant. I can speak out. But then Michael is speaking out in violation of a lot of tradition, because he's free to do that. He's free because he's answerable primarily to the Lord, aren't you?
Yes, absolutely. And you can't be afraid. I mean, even the Pope says, be not afraid, obviously echoing the words of Jesus Christ. And we can't be afraid, especially as Catholics. Because we are the number one target. Sometimes we get attacked falsely, and other times it's a true attack, and maybe we should be. Because what's happening here, people have to understand that we're attacking the evil within the church. When I'm, have my sword going, it's aimed directly at the bad guys, and we have to understand there are some bad guys within our church, and we have to go at them, and we have to expose them, and they have to be brought down.
Well, Michael, we're about out of time. Let's get your website out there, please.
Sure, it's www.silverswordintl.com, or you can look up on Yahoo or search engine Silver Sword International, three words, and get plenty of information from our website.
And thank you so very much for being with us. It's been a real pleasure. And I applaud what you're doing. As soon as you get that movie done, why, we'll certainly want to get you back on our program and hope that we can utilize this to educate people of all sides of the Christian church that we have a common enemy. We should be fighting that rather than fighting one another. Bye-bye and God bless you.
Thanks, Dr. Stan.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And if you agree with most of what we say, you're probably not going to agree with all of it, but if you agree with most of what we say, why, I hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters and helping us what we do. Now, I believe that there is an effort to destroy every aspect of Christendom. I believe that Lucifer hates the Catholic Church. I believe he hates the Protestant Church, and I believe he wants to get us fighting one another so we're not fighting the real enemy, and that is the prince of this world. So rather than spend all of our time as being critical of people that we may disagree with because of certain theological beliefs, I think that we ought to focus on the enemy rather than allowing Lucifer to manipulate us into spending all of our time attacking people who agree with us that Christ was the Savior sent to earth for the salvation of mankind. And so much of the Protestant belief today was really based upon the original old beliefs of the Catholic Church. In fact, a church I go to cites the Nicene Creed every Sunday. And where did that come from? Well, it came from the church of Constantine back in 300 and something, Conference of Nicaea. And that became then the basis of so much of Christendom today. So we all have the same roots. We've gone in separate directions. But I want to encourage people to get some of the material we have. We have a wonderful four-tape set for Catholics. It's called The Wisdom of Malachi Martin. And it goes into what's happening in the Catholic Church from the Catholic point of view. We have a four-tape set on the Church Growth Movement, which goes into what's happening in the Protestant Church today. We have a video called Diapracts in the Church. It's an excellent video going into the occult origins of the movement that is sweeping throughout Protestant churches today. We have a four-tape set on musical madness, about the impact of music on our minds. And then, of course, we have a great book. It's called The Crisis in Christian Music, written by a Protestant music director, going into the disastrous effect of the bongo drums and the rock and roll music, which is heard in both Catholic and Protestant churches today. And so we hope many of you will give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. And considering getting this type of material, we hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to coming to the meeting. We're going to be having all-day meeting on the 6th of November here in the North Shore of Monterey Bay, really one of the most beautiful spots in the world, where I've had the privilege of living for, almost 45 years now. So we hope that if you can possibly make it to the all-day meeting, we're bringing in outside speakers. Lunch is going to be served. We're going to start early in the morning and go through late in the afternoon. You'll have an opportunity to meet a lot of people from across America and hopefully across the world who feel as you and I do about the true nature of the spiritual battle we're involved in. If you've not seen the either the 4-hour or 10-hour version of They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, why don't you seriously consider getting that? That's They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, the 4 or the 10-hour version. If you have children or grandchildren who are into rock and roll music, or you'd like to get it for your minister and let him understand what he has brought into your church, let me suggest you call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, the 4-hour or the 10-hour version. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, shame on you. If you'd like a free copy of our latest newsletter, which deals with what's happening to our country financially, why, we'll be glad to send it to you free of charge. And of course, you want to subscribe, you may as well, but the telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Please go to our website at RadioLiberty.com, and you can listen to our programs on the radio somewhere in America, 5 hours every day on radio, and you can get us 5 hours a day on the Internet and not get very much of anything accomplished. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow at the same time, for those who are leaving us, may the Lord be with you. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our colleagues, and of course I welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the central coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we are going to have with us a very special guest this evening, Jack McLam of Aid and Abet Newsletter. And Jack was a police officer in Phoenix, Arizona. In fact, he was the most highly decorated police officer in Phoenix of all time. And then, of course, he began to read the Constitution, began to understand that much of the training of the police had to do with expediency and administrative issues, and was totally designed to circumvent the protections we were given by our Constitution. And when the police are not trained in the Constitution, when they don't understand the Constitution, when they are quite willing to do what's expedient rather than what is just, when they believe that they know who the bad guys are, and yes, sometimes they'll plant evidence, as they obviously did in the O.J. Simpson trial and in many other trials, why, we've lost our sense of morality, we've lost our sense of justice. And this carries over then sometimes into the courts. Sometimes we have prosecutors withhold evidence because they're convinced the accused person is guilty, and even though they're required by the laws of this land to provide the defense attorneys with evidence that might free the accused, they withhold that, and they violate the law. And many, many times they've sent innocent people to jail. In fact, we carry one book, which you've never read it, you need to read it, called Deadly Alliance, and it's the story of Whitey Bulger, who was an FBI informant, and for 20 years he operated in Boston, killing people, torturing people to death. Now, he wasn't supposed to do that, because, after all, there's certain rules for FBI informants, and working within the mob, but they can run their prostitution, their numbers, and they can, of course, beat people up, but they're not supposed to kill them. Well, Whitey Bulger killed 20 people and tortured them to death, and he was constantly protected by the Federal Bureau of Investigation, who intentionally sent an innocent man to prison for 30 years. A man that they knew was innocent, and this went right up to J. Edgar Hoover, and they sent him to prison to protect Whitey Bulger, who, and then of course when he was going to be picked up by the local police, because they had the goods on him for murder and murders, why the FBI tipped him off so he could escape, and he's still one of the most wanted men in the world today. And eventually the man had been in prison for 30 years, was released, but the FBI sent him to prison knowing he was innocent. Now, how can you have a legal system based like that? The book is Deadly Alliance. It was actually written by a reporter for the Boston Globe. We have that available through Radio Liberty. You can get it as part of our FBI special, going into the background of law enforcement. But until America gets back to a moral foundation, until we can honestly say we have the moral high ground, why we are in, we no longer can we support what's going on in this country from the legal point of view. Our courts have to embrace right and wrong. Our police have to embrace the fundamentals of our Constitution. Until the people of America turn back to God, no man's life or property are safe. And with that as a background, good evening, Jack.
Good evening, Brother Stan. Good to be on with you.
Well, it's so good to have you. And Jack, of course, runs an organization called Aid and Abet Newsletter. And he works with police officers and with military personnel all across the country, trying to teach them about our Constitution, which is the very foundation of our freedom. You know, in the new terrorist, new Patriot Act, why they define terrorism as people who want to change our form of government. Well, that's the people in the Council on Foreign Relations. That's the socialists working within our organizations. Those are the people within the elite. They want to unconstitutionally and illegally change our government, and they're doing it by their own definition. They are themselves are terrorists, but, of course, who are we going to report them to? To the government, which they control? Well, that's why it's so important that we understand the foundations of our freedom and, of course, do something about it. Well, Jack, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about your organization?
Well, Brother Stan, it's been 23 years for us that our Police and Military Volunteer Association has been reaching out for our brothers and sisters in uniform, and it's been good duty all those years. I've volunteered for 23 years, and now that I'm retired from law enforcement, I volunteer about 14, 16 hours a day. You know how that is.
Oh, I know how that
is. Stan, you know? But the good thing is that more and more of our brothers and sisters in uniform are getting concerned, becoming very concerned about the direction America's heading, about these wars that don't seem to have any benefit to the American people or to America. And so our email is just overflowing, our mail and phone calls. Just got a phone call last night from a soldier in Germany, an officer in Germany. We talked for a while. He has to be kind of careful because he's there in the military base in Germany. And, of course, all their phone calls and email and everything is monitored. But anyway, we have more contact all the time. And this is good because same with many of the American people in the private sector, Stan, they're beginning to realize that we're going the wrong direction, you know, with the taking away of the people's inalienable rights. Our country is going the wrong direction. Our police officers are beginning to realize and talk to us about getting more and more power, and they have children themselves, many of them, and are concerned about what kind of a nation their kids are going to grow up in if they continue to get more and more power and the people give up their freedoms for some semblance of safety and security. So it's keeping us very, very busy.
What are you hearing from the people over there in Iraq? You know, my understanding is that things have just gone from bad to worse over there.
It's worse, yes.
And, of course, we're winning this. Isn't it wonderful? We're winning the war over there. We're going to bring democracy. The people love us. And this really isn't true at all, is it?
No, I just got a message. Let's see if I can get it off the email here just last night from a guy in Iraq, a soldier in Iraq. And it was...
Hold that thought for just a moment.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Jack McClam from Aid in Abet Newsletter, and we're talking about his organization, his effort to reach out to police officers and the military throughout the world, and they've got thousands and thousands of people who are in contact with them who are concerned that the military and our police are going to be used to enforce a dictatorship here in America, because there really is an elite that wants a dictatorship and wants to centralize all power in Washington, D.C., intends to destroy our sovereignty and emerge us into a world government which will be controlled by a ruling elite. And that, of course, they hope is going to be themselves. Well, we were talking about Iraq, and Jack was saying he just got a email from somebody over there last night. What are they saying?
Well, he's talking about, I'm just trying to find it here. I was just putting it in our next publication, matter of fact, Aid in Abet Police Military Newsletter, because it's very telling, these letters from the soldiers there. This is a very low-ranking soldier, and he's deeply concerned about his safety over there. He's talking about this show of force they have when anything moves out there. He's near Baghdad, and he says they light it up. They just blow it to pieces, and he says it's too bad. He says war is hell, and too bad for the innocents out there, because we're killing a lot of them.
After all, we're there to liberate these people. But
yeah, we're,
once we got rid of Saddam Hussein, why didn't we let the Iraqi people set up their own government? Why did we dissolve the military? Why did we dissolve the police and create a state of total chaos? Now, we should have learned that after the Second World War, we kept the German police and the German army intact. We got the Nazis, the cruel and ruthless Nazi criminals, and tried them. But we kept the structure of government. We did the same thing in Japan. And you mean to tell me that they, when they went into Iraq after promising the military there that they would not go after the military leaders as long as they did not effectively oppose our government, we lied to them. We actually killed some of those generals who one of them had turned himself in. The head of the Air Force was tortured to death. And what sort of, then we dissolve the military and we dissolve the police. Then we try to reconstitute the police, and we find that the people who join the police force are either captured by the enemy and beheaded, or their families are kidnapped. And so nobody will work for the Americans today. They're all frightened and afraid to do it.
It is true. A lot of the soldiers are suffering from some of the things they're seeing our troops doing over there to the people. And we get these letters from them talking about trying to find something that's good. This young fella finally in his letter to us, email to us, said there's a few good things going on. A little Arab boy has bad eyes, and we're going to bring him in tomorrow for surgery, which is supposed to fix his eyes. And so they're just grasping for anything that they're doing good, so that they can feel like they're there for a purpose other than kill people, you know, and destroy things.
But you see, they don't want to kill people. The average American doesn't want to be doing this. But we've been put into this position where the leaders in Washington, D.C., oh, shucks, we made a mistake. We shouldn't have dissolved the military. We shouldn't have done away with the police force. Maybe we shouldn't have tortured that general to death. Well, we're going to slap the fellow who did this on the wrist. Have you heard about his trial? The man, a CIA operative, I think they call him a contract employee, who tortured the general to death. Have you heard about his trial?
I haven't. We haven't heard anything on the trial yet. We
wonder why not.
We know of the case, but it's very quiet.
Right.
For example, Stan, also something that really bothers us here at Aid in Abet Police Military Newsletter and our sister group, Police and Military Against the New World Order, is we constantly have to go to the foreign press to find out what's going on in Iraq with our soldiers. In the last week, we've only heard... we haven't heard one time in the last week from any of our news agencies here that any Americans, soldiers have been injured or killed. And of course, they're being killed every day. And so, but they lined up about 20 Iraqis the other day that were killed by our troops. Well, we know better than that, so we have to go to the foreign press to find out how many of our guys and gals are being killed and maimed for life over there.
Well, you know,
we're just not getting the truth out of our media at all.
There was a recent story in the New American magazine, and the one thing I will say about New American is usually the information there is very well documented.
And
they were talking about a man named Alawi. He's the CIA operative we installed as the dictator of Iraq. Of course, only temporarily. Supposedly, he is democratically chosen by the council that we appointed. He is, in fact, the dictator. But according to this article in the New American Magazine, there is captured five terrorists, call them what you will. They were people who were opposing the Americans. They were in a prison. Alawi walked in, took out a .45 and shot each one of them in the back of the head and killed all five of them, saying they were terrorists, they deserved to die. Gee, that's the sort of thing that will make him a real leader over that. The sort of thing that Saddam Hussein did. Why would we back a man that would do something of that nature? What about the moral high ground that once America had, where we did not act like others and we did not put corrupt people in power? Why don't we allow the people over there to form their own government? Or maybe if we did, why, then we couldn't justify keeping our troops there for the coming war with Iran, for the coming war with Syria. And all you need to do is read the newspapers to see how they're giving us all these planted articles, preparing us for the necessity of a war with Iran, for the necessity of a war with Syria, and eventually for the necessity of a war with Saudi Arabia. That is what it's all about, and I think it's only a matter of time before we install the draft and we begin sending more young men and women overseas to die fighting for democracy and freedom.
We've got a report came in about 2 weeks ago from an officer that got the information out to us that they figure there's 1,000 Arabs coming in from other nations a night coming across the border, and this officer told me that it's because the Arab people now know that we're coming for them next. You know, that this is going to be a wide sweep, taking over all the oil, taking all the land, setting up a huge UN base there to control that land forever, take it out of the control of the Arabs. And so he says that there's 1,000 combatants coming in now that wouldn't be combatants if they didn't understand now the internationalist goal of taking the natural resources, knocking out all of Israel's enemies over there and establishing this UN base, huge UN base, to keep control. And so he says, our problem is we're getting all these insurgents every night coming in here to fight us, to keep us bogged down in Iraq so that we can't go to Iran next. And the soldiers, the officers know that we're going to go to all those countries over there and take them over. And so the Arabs have now found out, and he says there's going to be the biggest war. He can't even imagine the size of the war when we get a billion Arabs, Muslims, upset around the world about what our true intentions are. So he's very concerned about his troops there and himself getting home alive. And then he was talking about Bush taking 70,000 of our soldiers out of South Korea now to try to get out of this quagmire in Iraq, because they can't get out because the fighting is getting worse and worse, and the deaths of soldiers, American soldiers, and Arabs are getting higher and higher, the death tolls, every single week. And this is only the beginning, according to this officer.
Well, I think that George Bush has done more to recruit people into the Al-Qaeda, Islamic terrorist movement, than Osama bin Laden ever could have done.
That's right.
And
that's right.
They knew exactly what they were doing. How do you get a war going? Why, you get the two sides to hate one another. And so all the propaganda here in America, how terrible the Muslim religion is, and I certainly disagree with the Muslim religion, but most Muslims don't embrace the radical form of Islam, or they didn't until we attacked them. And they say, oh, but you know, if they attacked us, well, we have to understand that we have an article, July of this year, 2001, an interview with Osama bin Laden, who said, I know America is preparing to attack us. So the question is, will we attack them first, or will they attack us? It's only a question of who's going to attack first. That was July, and if anybody wants to see it, we'll be glad. And it was either June or July. I believe it was June of the year 2001. So we knew the attack was coming. We had to have a justification to go to war. The American people didn't want to go to war. And the average American still doesn't want to fight. Just like the boys didn't want to fight in the Civil War, so they had to kill 2,000 of them and then put in the Emancipation Proclamation to give a justification for the war. The Emancipation Proclamation was put in, as I remember, 1863, almost 2 years after the war started, to give a justification for the war. and we have to have a justification for this war. We've got to inflame the Americans against the Islamic people and the Islamic people against America. And I'd say we're doing a pretty good job to inflame the Islamic people, wouldn't you, Jack?
I would say it's excellent, and as FDR said, if it happens in government, it doesn't happen by accident. The general consensus here among our soldiers is that this is all being done on purpose to cause a World War III that is going to be so deadly and bloody and hellacious that all the nations of the world will say, let's have peace under the United Nations.
No, my goodness.
So that's the consensus, that we're doing this on purpose, or I say our leaders are, not we the people, but so that they can have the biggest world war in the history of mankind, to where it'll be so much death and destruction in every country's among their young people and all, that everybody will cry out for world government under the United Nations. Now, that's just a theory of ours here, but everything points to that, Brother Stan.
I think you're absolutely right. We've been saying this on our radio programs for a long time. We have written this in our newsletters. I think, and we haven't really talked about this before, but it's interesting how your thoughts and my thoughts have run exactly parallel.
Isn't that amazing? Yes. Well, I think it's right on target, because these people, these international crime families leading these governments of the world, like America's government, they're not foolish people. They're not stupid. And so to be stirring up a billion Muslims against all the other people of the world is either total insanity or very shrewd operations.
We're going to be back here in just a moment with Jack McLam. We'll certainly welcome your calls from out across America here at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and right now, of course, we've got Bob calling from Cottonwood, Idaho. Hi, Bob. How are you doing?
Good. Hi, Dr. Stan. How are you tonight?
Doing just fine, thanks.
Good. Good to hear from you, Jack. Haven't heard from you in a while, and you're doing good work, so keep it up, okay?
My goodness, Bob. It's good to hear from you. You're my neighbor up here. I'm up here in Kamei,
yeah.
Idaho County, Idaho, and you are too.
Yeah, we're pretty close neighbors, yeah.
That's right.
We've got a little battle here, don't we, with the mentality down here, unfortunately.
Yes, we truly do.
Well, because the whole battle really is to get people to understand most Americans are good people. They want to be free. They just don't understand how this all fits together, and that's why, Bob, you've got to get them to listen to our programs up there.
Oh, absolutely. And it's a real convoluted picture, isn't it? It's very difficult to discern what's truth and what's fiction.
Well, you know, the only thing you could do, is keep talking. And I've had people write to me and say, you know, when we first heard you talking, we thought you were crazy. And before long, we were afraid you weren't. And then finally we realized you were really telling the truth. These things really are happening. There really are secret societies. There really is a spiritual battle. And, you know, we're winning them one at a time. They control the schools and the universities and the media. So they control what most people think. But more and more people are learning the truth.
Absolutely, and your previous program when you had the about traditional Catholicism was quite interesting, but I don't think, when we talk about these conspiracies and who's in charge of them, some people say it's the communists that are in charge, and the hand of masonry is everywhere, both in the Catholic Church and in our society, and insofar as in the political and in the financial end, masonry behind the scenes controls virtually everything, and I don't think that can be understated. I think that is a real factor. And what we see on a geopolitical is just it's just masonry battling masonry for control of the world. Basically.
Have you read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness?
No, I haven't.
Can I suggest you read that book, because there are a lot of people who would agree with you, but there are just as many people who will write to me and tell me it's really the Catholic Church, or the other people who will say it's really the Jesuits, or there are other people who will say no, it's the Skull and Bone Society. So can I suggest you get my book, or get the video. The book is really it's an inexpensive little book, but it will address exactly what you're saying. Masonry is a very important part of what we're up against. But it is not the whole story. It's part of the story.
That's right.
But just as the Skull and Bones is part of the story, too.
Right. Have you ever read Behind the Lodge Door?
Yeah, I sure have. By Paul. Well,
yes.
Anyway, we carry that book, as a matter of fact. We think it's a very important book.
Have you ever read Scarlet and the Beast?
In fact, we have a four tape set of interviews with John Daniels, who wrote that book. So
you do. Fantastic! That is an incredible incredible work, isn't it?
It really is. So you know, we have, of course, one of the things we do to our ministry is make all of this information available to the public.
Yeah, you know, if people out there, your listeners, should really, really study masonry and these documents that we just talked about. Read them and find out. Most Masons don't have a clue as to what the agenda of the organization really is. I mean, when you're at the bottom, when you're in the first 3 degrees, the Blue Lodge, you don't know what's going on at the very top. Players like, Gerald Ford was 33rd degree Mason. Lyndon Baines Johnson, 33rd degree Mason, or better.
No, I don't think he would caught that high, but he certainly was a Mason. Anyway, the book is called Behind the Lodge Door by Paul Fisher, and we do carry that. We think it's an important book, and certainly we have a great deal on material on the masonry, but we have information on all of the other things. Well, hey, we're going to have to run, Bob, because we're...
Well, thank you for your time, Dr. Stan. And Jack, good to hear from you, and keep it up, Jack.
Yes, I sure will, Bob, and hope to see you sometime soon.
Bye-bye.
Okay, brother, bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and that was Bob calling from Cottonwood, Idaho. And if you would like to give us a call, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But if I could just put in a plug for my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, it addresses this issue. There are lots of people who think it's all the Masons. There are lots of people who think it's all the New Age. There are lots of people who are firmly convinced it's the Knights of Malta or Opus Dei or the Jesuits or, everybody has their idea of who is behind this conspiracy. And we tell you a secret that has been kept for thousands of years. It's been passed down through the ages by the sages of the secret societies, and we lay it all out. Now, they would never write it out because they feared for their lives if they were ever exposed. And we will tell you in my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, what that secret is that's been passed down through the ages. So we're not going to tell them tonight, Jack, because we want them to get the book and read it, because mainly not because we want the money from it, but because we want people to have the background of information so they can discuss this intelligently.
That's right, and it's a wonderful book, Brother Stan, and I encourage everybody to get a copy if you don't have one. Your education is lacking, that's for sure.
Well, I appreciate the plug. So as long as we're going to do that, why don't we tell people how they can get the Aid and Abet newsletter that you publish and get your, about 2,000?
Operation Vampire Killer 2000.
Operation Vampire Killer 2000. Why don't you tell people how they can get in touch with you and your ministry?
Okay, very fine. Yes, we're a police and military volunteer association up here in Idaho County, Idaho, and we publish constitutional publications for police and soldiers that we encourage police and military to come together and network so that we can join the people again, Brother Stan, in taking back our constitutional republic from those that wish to form America into a satellite of the United Nations world government system. And people can read about this through our publication, Aid and Abet, Police and Military Newsletter. And the easiest way to write to us, Brother Stan, is just to put a capital A, the and sign, another capital A, just A and A, and the address is HC, like Hotel Charlie, 11, Box 357, Kamiah, K-A-M-I-A-H, Idaho, 83536. And if they don't mind, we're a volunteer police military association, but they'd like to get a copy of it. If they could put $3 cash in an envelope and send it in, it really helps us reprint, pay the postage, and it's not a drain on us to send it out. Now, if you don't have any money, we'll send it out anyway. But if you can put $3 in an envelope, don't worry, we won't steal it. It'll get here soon. Fine, don't write a check if you don't have to. Or if they'd like to be permanently on our mailing list so that they get regular issues for a year and a half, actually, it's $25. And so if they put $25 in an envelope and send it in to us, we'll put you on our mailing list. And we ask you to please make copies of our publications and get them in the hands of every one of your brothers and sisters in uniform If you're a police officer, make copies and hand them out. Put them in your squad room and in the briefing room and lunchroom. And let your brothers and sisters read them. If you're a private citizen, just get copies and hand them out to any police officer in your family, soldier in your family. Almost one out of two people, Brother Stan, we found out, has either a police officer or soldier in their family.
Somewhere. Well, I think before long, a lot more people are going to have soldiers in their families.
Yes, I sure will.
I'm fearful they're going to be drafting our sons and our daughters. And people have to understand that they intend to precipitate a massive world conflict with horrible consequences, so that at the end of this time, when America's cities lie in ashes, at least some of them, why the people will say, we'll accept world government. We've got to have world peace. And this is what it's all about. This is why they precipitated World War One. This is why they precipitated World War Two. This is why they precipitated the Korean and Vietnam and the First Gulf War. And they're all stepping stones towards the ultimate Third World War, which we have already entered, except the average American doesn't understand the implications, because this war is not going to be fought on somebody else's soil. Part of it's going to be fought, I fear, right here in the United States.
I believe you're right, my friend.
And now with the enemy, with the Iranians having, the missile capacity, and of course, where did they get the capacity to create the very accurate missiles? Why, they got them from our good friends, the Chinese communists, who got them from the Clinton administration. And of course, where did they get the technology to build their bombs? From our good friends in Pakistan. And of course, we were financing Pakistan. So they have the ability to create nuclear weapons and to deliver them by missiles, all thanks to the American technology, American taxpayers' money that has financed the whole background of the coming World War III. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening, Jack McClam. And, of course, his publication is Aid and Abet Newsletter. And if you, we'll give that address once again before we leave. But the website is www.police-and-military-against-the-new-world-order.org. Is that right?
It's police and military against the New World Order, and you put a hyphen between each word. That's the easiest way. People can always remember police and military against the New World Order, and then they just have to put a hyphen between each one.
Well, now, are more and more of our police really understanding that we are moving towards a dictatorship, that the police are being brought under federal control, which was what our founding fathers feared? They never wanted a police force, but in the name of fighting the wicked terrorists that of course are still being funded by our good friends in Saudi Arabia, and the Bush administration is doing everything they can to prevent anything being done to stop the funding of these terrorists, why we're losing our freedom.
That's absolutely right. And if they will get a copy of our Police and Military Against the New World Order's manual, Operation Vampire Killer 2000, as you know, Brother Stan, you might remember on the back page, almost the back page, page 74, there's actually 75 pages. We have the map in there that was drawn up in 1952 by the London, in London, by the World Association of Parliamentarians for World Government, that shows that they knew way back in 1952 that foreign troops would be assigned to manage the people in the United States, subjugate them. And our troops would be all over the world, and they have the places listed here in 1952 that our brothers and sisters in uniform would be stationed to force the people in those nations under this Antichrist world government system as they empty out America with the coming. Not only are our National Guardsmen gone and all the military equipment, Veterans Day's coming up again, and we won't have any equipment for the VFW or the American Legion to ride in the parades. All the military equipment's gone, and they're taking the reserves out, and they're taking the National Guard out. Now they're going to have a universal draft June 9th, 2005 to draft our women and men and girls and boys up to age 34.
But Jack,
so they're emptying out America, and if something happens here, brother, The American people are going to accept foreign troops in America because all of ours are gone.
And we have troops in 140 nations throughout the world today. Why do we have troops in 140 nations? Is there another agenda that they're not telling us about? We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Jack McLam. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. You know, one of the things that really disturbs me most, Jack, is all the material and books I'm getting talking about a just Christian wars. Why Christians should support this war, because this is a just war, because Saddam Hussein was such a terrible and wicked man, never mentioning that he was backed by our CIA and by our own government. Donald Rumsfeld was over there in 1983, forging an alliance with Saddam Hussein. We financed him. We provided him military supplies. We provided him with technology. We have provided him with military intelligence during his war with Iran. He was simply a satellite of America being used to keep the Iranians in line. And now, of course, we depict him as a terrible and evil man, which he is. And they talk about all the people he killed after the first Gulf War. And he did kill a lot of them. But people have forgotten that the reason that he killed them was because they had risen up against his regime. These were the Shia Muslims in the south and the Kurds in the north. And the reason they rose up is because the American president, a man named George Herbert Walker Bush, promised them that if they would rise up against Saddam Hussein, we would come to their power. We not only did not come to their power, but we had air superiority, we had our planes there, and yet we allowed Saddam to send his helicopter gunships and kill the Shias and the Kurds by the tens of thousands. So those are the people you're finding in large mass graves. Not that Saddam Hussein wasn't a wicked man. But if you read the book by Robert Baer entitled See No Evil, and he was a CIA operative over there, he will tell you that every Iraqi he met believed that the United States was keeping Saddam Hussein in power. And he cited two instances. One, that every Iraqi believed that in 1953, when the military tried to overthrow Saddam, they were betrayed by the American people. And again in 1955, when he was there, why, of course, the same thing happened all over again. And the American government betrayed the Iraqi generals who wanted to overthrow the wicked Saddam Hussein. The question is why, unless this is all scripted out intentionally and purposely to bring about World War III.
Yes, I wonder sometimes, Stan, which evil dictator in the world we didn't support. You know, we published an Aid and Abet Police Military newsletter last time, and we documented in about 7 pages of the newsletter the wicked history of the Bush family, how they funded Hitler. And I mean, is there any evil dictators the American leaders have not funded over the years? You know, it's just amazing. It's hard to find one we didn't fund.
I think you're absolutely right.
Set into power.
And this is what is so difficult for the average American to believe, is that we would fund wicked dictators. Well, of course, who put Mugabe in power in Zimbabwe? And who put the dictator in power in Southwest Africa? And who is supporting the communist dictatorship in Angola? And who has certainly been working to keep the communists in power in Georgia and in other Soviet satellites? Who's keeping the communists, former communists, a dictator in power in Uzbekistan and Kazakhstan and all those various stands over there? Certainly, Karzai in Afghanistan is not the choice of the people.
No.
Musharraf in Pakistan is not the choice of the people. And isn't it interesting that in Egypt, where we support the Mubarak regime, he always gets over 99% of the vote?
Isn't that interesting?
Well, if you're out there and you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And we not only support the Egyptian authoritarian regime, we also support Arafat and the Palestinian Liberation Army and the Palestinian terrorists. And then, of course, we support the Israelis. We support both sides in that conflict. It's about time the American people woke up and smelt the coffee and realized what's really going on.
That's right, brother. And another thing we've noticed here just recently, for 8 years, and Christians should listen to what I'm about to say, over 2 million Tutsi Christians were slaughtered in South Africa there in the Sudan as the UN stood on the border and made sure nobody could get in to rescue the Christian Tutsis being slaughtered by the Hutu government Muslims. Mm-hmm. And now that they've all been slaughtered, so many of the Christians have been slaughtered, and they're starting now to kill the Muslims, all of a sudden the American government and the UN is all excited and upset because Muslims are being killed now. It didn't bother them at all that 2 million Christians were being slaughtered over the last 8 years, and they wouldn't let anybody in, according to some of our missionaries, to try to help.
Right, of course, the Tutsis and the Hutus were over in Rwanda, but they were the 2 million Christians, or predominantly Christians, who were slaughtered in the southern part of the Sudan. But you're absolutely right. Now that the Muslims are slaughtering Muslims in the western part of the Sudan, which incidentally is the largest country in all of Africa, why, of course, now there's tremendous publicity about that, and isn't this just terrible? Look at these atrocities. And they are terrible when Muslims slaughter Muslims, but that's always the way that the Muslim faith has been. When they're not killing Christians, they're killing other Muslims.
Right. And it's just, our point is that our military association here has seen in all these nations where just millions of Christians have been slaughtered in the last century and continuing today, and Christians should understand that these people did not get raptured. You know, our American Christians, 99.9% of them are hiding in their prayer closets awaiting to get the heaven out of here, and they've abandoned all the institutions and turned it over to these demonic forces, it seems like. And now we wonder why there's so much evil in our government. You know, all the Christians have withdrawn. But they should remember that millions and millions of Christians didn't get raptured and have been murdered. And they should remember Billy Graham's been saying for 75 years that we're going to be leaving here next week, and we're still here. So I think we ought to pay attention. Christians ought to pay attention. They may still be here for 75 more years, living in utter tyranny and terror as these foreign entities come in here and destroy our nation and millions of Christians.
Well, I always like to say that, you know, it tells us in the Bible that no man knows when the Lord is coming. There are many, many things that make us think that His coming is imminent, but people have been believing that for a long period of time. And what happens if the rapture comes and the Lord comes 25 years after America's fallen and your children and have been slaughtered or sent off to concentration camps or to die in another senseless war? Then what are you going to say? We have an obligation right here and now to be involved, because we're involved in a spiritual battle, not only for the survival of America, but for the souls of men. And there are wicked people on the other side who have a different agenda. They want a world monetary system. They want a world economic system. They want a new world government, and they want a new world religion. And that's what this is really all about. And if you understand that, everything that's going on makes sense today. The transfer of American jobs to other countries, the transfer of American industries, opening our borders. Why? Because they want to unite the world. They know exactly what they're doing. That's why they opposed making English the official language of this country a decade and a half ago. Why? Why? Because if America was head of one language, then we could be one nation under God. They don't want one nation. They want a divided nation so they can play one group against the other. The Hispanic against the white, the black against the Hispanic, American against American. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to know. Well, Jack, what can we do? What advice would you give to the average person out there listening to what we're saying and saying, well, all this is just down, and what can I do? I'm just one person. Not much I can do. Well, there's a lot people can do, isn't there?
There's so much that can be done. We hear from people all the time. Brother Stan, we've got a little guy in Arizona and Phoenix that is a Christian man. And his testimony, he doesn't go to his church, he goes to his church every other week. And the second week, he prints up flyers on his little computer with information, knowledge, information like maybe our website or your website and your radio station where you can be found. And he goes out and he takes several hundreds of these and goes into the church parking lots of other churches and puts it under the windshield wiper of the cars. And I mean, there's something for everybody to do. We've got a little grandmother down in Texas that taught us here at Aiden Abet Police Military Newsletter that you carry some of these publications like Dr. Stan's newsletter, our newsletter, or information on where they can dial in to listen to the programs, and she goes out and puts them under police car windshields. When she comes across a police car parked someplace, she gets out, puts it under the windshield, gets back in her car, and we've gotten calls from all over the area where she's put these under the windshield. It was so successful that we told our fellow police officers and soldiers about this and private sector people, and they've been doing it for a number of years, and we've got just literally thousands of police officers to contact us because of this idea of putting a message under their windshield wiper.
Well, most of the
people, use your imagination. There's so much can be done. Everybody needs to have the information that comes out on Dr. Stan Monteith's program. It's one of my favorite programs. I was listening to it today, Dr. Stan, while I was working on the next Aiden Abet Police newsletter, and I was very interested who you were talking to, the man that was talking about what we know here that at our Police and Military Association is all of our leaders in the large nations of this world are globalists, and he made the statement, which we knew here, that Sharon is a globalist and is setting up the destruction of Israel. And he's absolutely right. These are evil, evil men in the U.S. government, the British government, the German government. All of these governments, the Israeli government, are working for world government under this totalitarian system.
But you see, the people of these countries don't want a world government. They want their sovereignty. They want their
that's
freedom.
Right.
And so they have to create a crisis situation so the people will be willing to give up their freedom and submit to the coming tyranny.
Absolutely right, and our people need to know about it, and the only way they can is get good information. And if this Police and Military Association listens to Dr. Stan's show, let me tell you, we're getting knowledge every day from your program, Dr. Stan, and we thank our local micro-broadcaster up here, Joe, up on the top of this mountain that broadcast probably about 50 miles around in his little micro-broadcasting program, or we wouldn't get your show except on computer.
Well, I'm so glad.
Get
it,
on right over the FM dial. Each day I can sit here, work on my newsletter, and hear your show.
Well, you know, this is really so encouraging. I didn't know there was a micro-station up there, but there are micro-stations all across this country where people are doing exactly that same thing, and then we have some major stations that pull down that afternoon program. And of course, our evening program is heard, the first hour is heard on 10 stations, and plus, you know, the other micro broadcasters that want to pull us down. I don't know if you heard our program earlier this week with a Vladimir Bukovsky, who is calling from England, who's actually...
We heard a portion of it. We wish we'd have heard all of it.
Well, and it really was a fascinating insight, because this man had been imprisoned in Russia. He's a Russian, and of course he was a dissident there, and they threw him in prison. He feels so deeply about being free and living in England. He's an English citizen, and he sees the a descending hand of tyranny there, and he is part of a small group over in England that has formed a third party. They got 17% of the vote with no help from the media, no help from the newspapers. There is a growing movement in England that is exposing this diabolical plan for world government. And I believe if we could get the American people to understand that they don't have to vote for Tweedledum or Tweedledee, there are legitimate alternatives to vote for in this election. And you know they must be good, because Rush Limbaugh and Bill O'Reilly and Dan Rather or Tom Brokaw never mention the Constitution Party or the Libertarian Party. But they will talk about the Ralph Nader, who's only going to be on the ballot in two or three states, maybe five or seven states at the very most. And the Libertarians and the Constitution Party will be on the ballot. The Constitution Party, at least 41 states, maybe more. So why do they talk about Ralph Nader and
not
about the Constitution Party?
Yeah, they're not afraid of him.
They don't want you to know about it.
Yeah, they're not afraid of Ralph Nader. But they are afraid of this growing movement of the American people waking up because they're beginning to get good information through the alternate media sources and beginning to share it and pass it around in great volume today. So the Republican Socialist Party and Democratic Socialist Party are scared to death that they're not going to close the door on America and lock us down before this the American masses awaken in such numbers that we could literally take back our constitutional republic.
Well, right now, let's go to Bill, who's calling in from Idaho, from Coeur d'Alene. Hi, Bill. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. I hope by touching on something that you haven't covered, I didn't catch your whole show tonight, but I was really surprised to hear this news, and I guess the end result of it is the word is getting out, hearing that the Zogby poll, have you talked about that tonight?
Oh, boy, I heard about it today. It was shocking.
Yeah, I went even on the website to verify that it's true, that 50% of the New Yorkers believe that that the government had prior knowledge to 9/11.
Yes, amazing.
I find that absolutely amazing. I don't think it's being reported widely in the media. I heard it on radio and then checked the Zogby website, and it was true.
That's right. It's a very telling bit of information Zogby put out in that poll that shows that the American people are waking up. And it's startling because we here at our Police and Military Association didn't know the numbers were so high there in New York. But that's got to be scary to those in the two parties that have covered this thing up about our government's complicity in this horrible event that came out to force these changes in America.
And of course, they had to have an incident to be able to have a war on terrorism and to begin to inflame the American people against the Muslims and the Muslims against the American people. Yeah, that Zogby poll, is fascinating. I think the one thing is, as Joel Skousen pointed out today, that the one reason that the people in New York know about it is because they have friends who were there, and of course, a lot of them know about the explosive, multiple explosions in those buildings. That they lost people there, and they know they've been lied to. Hey, Bill, we're out of time.
Thank you.
God bless, and thanks so much for being with us.
God bless you.
Hang on for just a minute here, Jack, and then we'll wrap up the program here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening has been Jack McClam. Jack, I want you to get your website and your address out one more time.
All right, very good. Just for the website, it's very simple. Just remember, Police and Military Against the New World Order .com or .org, and just put a dash between each word. And so it's very easy, Police and Military Against the New World Order .org or .com. Put a dash between each, and then our address, if you'd like to write in and get copies of our publications and find out what tapes we have and so forth, Police Officers Speaking Out, our singular goal is to prevent our brothers and sisters in uniform from being unwittingly used to enslave the people of free nations, including America, under this Antichrist world government system. And our motto, Brother Stan, is if police and military soldiers do not enforce tyranny, it won't get enforced. And it's an absolute truth. So write to us here at HC11, that's like Hotel Charlie 11, Box 357, Kamiah, K-A-M-I-A-H, Idaho, 83536. These brothers and sisters in uniform are worth saving, and we definitely need them on our side. They're good people. They've just been mistrained and misdirected, as I was for many years before I awakened to the truth.
Well, I certainly agree with you, Jack, and I think it's wonderful what you're doing up there. The fact you're an all-volunteer organization, but you're getting information out that wouldn't be gotten out otherwise. And you know what's interesting is I look and see what's happening across America, and I come to realize that God has called various people to various jobs. I've been called to do what I'm doing. You're called to do what you do. And each of us plays a small part in what I believe is God's plan for this time in American history.
I think you're right, brother, and we sure appreciate you here, Brother Stan, for what you're doing. You educate us every day that we can listen in, our police and soldiers here, and so we want to thank you for our children and grandchildren for all the time you put out every day to try to help us bring America back under God and our Constitution.
Well, I appreciate all that you and the others are doing, God. None of us can do it alone, but together, we become an army. I believe we're an army fighting the spiritual battle, and hopefully we're on God's side. And God will, I don't know what he's going to do. It's God's battle. We're just called to do our best.
That's right. We've got to be on the field of battle. He said, occupy until I return, and that's our duty.
Well, thank you so much. Our guest has been Jack McLam of Aid and Abet Newsletter, and we do hope many of you will go to his website at the Police and Military Against the New World Order.org. That's Police and Military Against the New World Order.org. Thank you so much for being with us, Jack.
Okay, and Lord bless you real good, and thanks again, brother.
Good night. Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I have to remind you that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we're really dependent primarily upon those of you who listen to our programs to help us as we reach out across America 5 hours every day. And I didn't know there was a small station up there in the Kamai area that was carrying our program, but I know there's stations all across America that do carry some of our programming, and 5 hours a day, we're somewhere in America on the radio, and 5 hours a day on the internet, and 4 hours a day on shortwave, and 4 hours a day on satellite, soon to be 5 hours a day on satellite. And if you want to know more about our ministry, go to our website at radioliberty.com, and you can see all the various networks we're on. That's radioliberty.com. And then, of course, we ask you to tell others about our ministry, and we ask you to encourage them to listen to our radio programs. You have our permission to pull down our newsletters and, of course, copy them and get them out to others. I think our latest newsletter on what's happening financially you'll find fascinating. That's the August newsletter. If you'd like a free copy, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Just ask for the August newsletter. Would you like to know what Warren Buffett, the richest man in the world, is doing today to protect his material possessions? Would you like to know what Alan Greenspan really thinks, not what he tells the people back in Washington, D.C., but what he really thinks about what's happening? Well, it's all there in the August newsletter. I think it's really rather good, and I hope that you will as well. We'll send you a free copy if you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, and we really sort of hope that you want to subscribe to the newsletter, because that helps us to get that out all across America. And, of course, well over 1,000 people are getting our newsletter every single month as we're reaching out with the information you're not going to get from Rush Limbaugh or Bill O'Reilly, Dan Rather, or Tom Brokaw. We hope many of you will want to get, of course, my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness. It's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Remember, we're having an all-day seminar here in the Monterey Bay area on the 6th of November, and if you can possibly make it, please come. The lunch will be served. We'll start early in the morning. We're bringing in outside speakers, and you'll have an opportunity to meet people from all across America who are as concerned about what's going on as you are. Hopefully we'll have people from throughout the world. Certainly at the other meetings we've had representatives from Europe and elsewhere. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we do it. We do 5 hours a day. If you have not seen the video, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, either the 4-hour version or the 10-hour version, why you really need to get it. You need to get your children and grandchildren to watch this video to understand how the devil's music has been introduced into our society. You even need to get your minister to watch this, because many ministers, of course, for the ministry, you probably want to get the 4-hour version, has a lot of the same material as in the 10-hour version, but very few ministers will watch for 10 hours. We have another new video. It's called The Sorcerers of the New Age, and actually it's with Pastor Joe Schimmel, who does the other video, but the information is great, it's reliable, and you have to understand that they've infiltrated our churches, they've infiltrated our music, they've infiltrated Hollywood, and if you haven't seen Carol Matriciana's excellent video, The Gods of Entertainment, or another video we have, it's called Hollywood Unmasked, they're all available, by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. We ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for our leaders, for our ministers. But please remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, because we're on the front lines of this battle 5 hours of every day. And so until tomorrow at the same time, when we'll be back with you once again, this is Dr. Stan saying goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.